everyone, it's Div. Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. We are in October now, officially.
Spooky season.
So, for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing themed episodes. And if you are a reader, a weeb, an emo, or anyone in between, you know that this is the place for you. We love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy. So, that sounds like you. You've come to the right place.
We're all just angry weirdos, and we all have that in common. Updates. So, I have a lot going on right now. I'm going to Forks, Washington.
I'm excited for you. I'm jealous.
I am pretty excited, too. This all started because on the 4th of July, my friend and I were hanging out, and then we decided to play a Twilight drinking game, and we got drunk. And then I was telling her that one of my friends was going to have her bachelorette party in Forks, so I started researching it, and I found out that there's a Twilight festival that happens every year, and she was like, no way, we should go. And I was like, okay, yeah. Because that sounded like a good idea, drunk. And then we started looking into it, and the Twilight Festival actually happened, like, a week or two ago. But when we looked into it, it was, like, stupid expensive, and we were like... And then the more we talked, I was like, I don't need to meet anybody. Like, I don't need to be with other Twilight fans. I don't even think of myself as a Twilight fan. I just want to see where everything happened. And she was like, Great, what if we went during an off time? So we're going this weekend instead, where hopefully no one will be there. And I'm pretty excited. We're going to make a lot of random fucking videos and run around.
If anybody wants some really weird Twilight videos, go check out our social pages because you know that they're going to be there.
I'll be posting them on mine, @laughinglistener, and I'm sure some will make it to the egg account too. So follow Emo Girls Guide. But yeah, it's going to be weird. I don't even know what's going to happen, but I'm going to try to document as much as I can. So that'll be fun. I went to a haunted house, and I survived. That was cool. There's one called 13th Floor here, and it's huge. They take up, like, a whole warehouse.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a chain or not, or if that's just a Colorado-Denver thing, but we went, and it was really cool. I'm not a haunted house person, but I have a friend who is my Forks friend. She's way into haunted houses, so I go because I don't dislike them. And then at one point there was a part where she was walking. There's a part where it's supposed to look like a swamp, and there's like a little half wall that's filled with like fake plants. And then they inflated something on the bottom. So you had to walk through it. So it was touching your legs. It was kind of weird, but, this fake alligator popped up and she was like, ah! And then this woman popped up right after the alligator in full on makeup and she screamed so ah! Oh my God. And then she looked at her and she was like, no, no. And then she ran away. It was so fucking funny. I was dying. So that happened. That was good.
See, as somebody who really enjoys like the horror genre, that is also my, like, gray area line. Like, I'm physically uncomfortable, like, being in a haunted place or, like, knowing that people are going to try to scare me. I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, this is going to give me
It was amazing, so much too, anxiety. Because I think, you know, like, they follow a formula. So, like, it weaves in. It's like a maze and it weaves. So, and I knew halfway through it that if we turned a corner, there was always a door there. And I'm like, someone's going to pop out of this door when I walk by it. And they would, and I would still scream. And I'm like, how is this possible? I know it's coming.
I've been to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios a few years, like very far apart. And I remember just being like, the calmest in line, or when you're in a store, or when you're in somewhere where you know nobody's gonna scare you, and then immediately, like the moment you pass the threshold, you're like, oh my God, like I am going to die here.
It is really nerve-wracking when you're waiting, like, oh God, it's gonna happen.
And they make the pathway so narrow, so you have to go like individually.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know, we were holding hands, but we were like one in front of the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say last year we went to the same place and they have this We did the haunted house, and that was just a haunted house. That was scary, but not like I don't know. It wasn't too scary for me, but they have this room thing where it's pitch black, like you literally cannot see, and it's a maze, and you have to walk through it, and then of course people like jump out and scare you and shit. Mm-hmm. But you can't see anything, and that really freaked me out. When we were talking about going this year, I was like, I cannot do that again, because I almost peed my pants. I know. Yeah.
Ghost movies, I'll watch them. Possession movies, give them to me. Like, ghost videos on TikTok, I'm all about it. Horror books, yes. Put me in that situation, I'm out. Me, personally, I think that I would not survive a horror book.
Yeah, I don't seek out horror haunted houses, but I don't, like, I don't know, I don't dis, I don't, I'm not opposed to going.
Yeah, horror, I'll go, but I know movies, that I'll be, like, scared the whole time.
Yeah, horror movies I don't watch. For some reason, horror books I'm okay with, I don't know why, but maybe because I can't see it, I don't know. But anyway, that happened, I survived, I kicked off spooky season that way, so that was fun. And then, I'm excited to talk about this just for, I don't know. But do you remember on Book Talk a while ago, there was that sound from an audiobook, and it was a guy, and he's like, I'm going to give you a chance to run. And then he counts down. He's like, 10, 9, 8. And then people were using it to, like, count things down. Like, these are my favorite books or whatever.
Yeah.
I figured out what book that's from, and I listened to the audiobook. I looked up the audiobook, and I was like, this is 2 hours and $5, so I can do that. And I listened to it, and it was, like, it was crazy. It was just, like, it's a full cast audiobook. And I've never listened to a full cast spicy audiobook before. So it was just a porn. It was like listening to the audio of a porn. And I was driving in my car and I was like, oh my God. I was making weird faces like, they're literally moaning.
Audio porno. Got it.
I don't know why it's different hearing a full cast of people do it, but I was like, I feel like you're really having sex in a studio somewhere.
Wait, what's the book called for anybody who's actually interested in
this? It's called Scream for Us by Molly Doyle. Got it. And then, but I didn't hate it. First of all, the audiobook narrators were really great, and the guy who does the, like, the main voice is really, he was great. I liked it. He had a nice voice. But it's a reverse harem, and the plot is literally this girl goes to a party. She gets sexually assaulted at said party, and then this guy in a ghost mask comes in, and he's like, get your hands off her, and he, like, beats the shit out of the other guy. And then she takes him away from the other guy, because she's like, oh my God, he's gonna kill him! So she takes him away to, like, this private room, and his friends follow him, so it's three guys. One is in a ghost mask, one is in a Jason mask, and one is in a Michael mask. And then she literally, they don't say their names, so she literally just starts calling them what their mask is. So she starts calling this guy Ghost, and we don't know, we never learn their names the entire novella.
I mean, that sounds kind of perfect for spooky season, though. Like,
I mean, honestly. Yeah, and then they immediately have sex. Like, she takes him to the room, and they immediately bang, and I was like, okay, sure. And then I ended up, there's a sequel book to that, called Bloodshed, that's a full novel, and I ended up reading it because I was like, I at least need to know these guys' names. And it was...
Do you find them out?
You do immediately, yeah.
Okay.
It was not a good book. It was not good. I don't know if it's because I'm not really a dark romance person or what, but it was just too batshit. Like, it was too crazy. I was like, I can't hang with, I can get down with some crazy ass plot lines, but this is crazy.
Yeah. okay, well.
It was kind of cool because the novella is in the middle of the book, but it's told, but whenever there's a scene that repeats from the novella, she changes the perspectives. So, like, you get to see the novella from other point of views.
Oh, got it.
And you see the build up to the novella and then, like, the aftermath of it. So that was kind of cool, the way she formatted it, but it was not good.
That will not be part
of the recommendations part of the episode, but I wanted to talk about it because it was hilarious to listen to.
I kind of want to listen to it now just so that way I know what you're talking about, but I kind of don't, like, want to listen
to it. It's only 2 hours. It's 2 hours of your life, yeah.
You're right. It's the same thing as a movie. Might as well.
If you listen to it and then you want to know what happens, I can just tell you, like, don't, please do not read Bloodshed. Yeah.
We could have an episode on the podcast, but, like, this is what you're not missing.
We were going to have an episode about all the books we don't like, so I'll just wrap it up in there. Oh, yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Yep, that's a good one.
But anyway, and then my last one is that thread. I was on Threads for the first time in like a month the other day, and someone posted about some book called Her Favorite Jack-O-Lantern by Rebecca Kennick, and I was like, that's the most adorable cover I've ever seen in my life. So I downloaded it, and I have been devouring it, and it's super cute, so I can talk about that later, but that's what I'm doing now.
Nice. I have been mentally drained from work and life, so I haven't had
work has sucked your
much
soul.
Of an update. Yeah, I've been busy just doing adult stuff because, you know, being a 30-year-old is not the biz these days.
Not the biz.
But I am going to see All American Rejects, Newfound Glory, and Motion City Soundtrack in San Diego in a few weekends. So that'll be fun. I'll report back.
And you're going to look awesome.
Yeah, I've been buying like new stuff on Amazon, so that's fun too. And I think we're going to the zoo. So it's going to be like show, zoo.
Oh, that's fun.
Recover. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, nothing too crazy going on with me. I just have my stack of books that I'm ready to talk about today. So we'll just jump right in. So our topic today, because obviously it's the first weekend in October.
Spooky season!
And we wanted to give like a wide range of spooky, cozy books that we recommend. I think that I have more spooky books than Loretta, and she's going to cover off on more of the cozy reads because I
have the fluffy spooky books, and Dev has the horror spooky books.
Yeah, I don't read cozy novels, like, if I'm being honest. Like, most of my books are just, like, high fantasy. Yeah. Like, I don't want to read
You need
read
high
about...
stakes in yours.
Yeah, like, I can appreciate, like, the office assistant getting the really hot CEO and then, like, going to a cabin and getting snowed in on, like, a work trip. But that's, like, too realistic for me. Like, that can actually happen in real life. And I'm just like, I want the fairies. Like, I want the ghosts. I want stuff that, like,
I will say
it's not going to actually happen to me.
Yeah, I will say that one of my recs is a... The one I started reading, I just mentioned, Her Favorite Jack-O-Lantern, that's a contemporary, but that's, like, literally the only contemporary on this list, because I cannot hang with contemporary books most of the time.
I don't know what that says about us, like, if there's anyone out there who wants to give us some
feedback. Even when the plot
feedback.
Isn't remotely close, like, even when I'm reading about, like, I don't know. Like, a celebrity comes and they fall in love. Like, that could never happen. But in my brain, I'm like, this could... There is a statistical chance that it could, though.
Like, I'm gonna
like,
pick
what if he was a vampire?
Aliens. Yeah, I'm gonna pick the blue aliens over, like, the firefighter, for sure. Like, firefighters are real. We all know that that's
not how they
really are in life.
I don't want anything even remotely touching real life.
The firefighter I live it every day. Who, like, surprises you with, like, a date at the lake. Like, we know that that's not happening. Like, like, no, there's men. Real men are not like that. At least I can pretend that this blue alien can be like that because we don't know what blue aliens are like.
Right.
But anyway, off the topic,
know,
going
tangent.
Back to our spooky rec.
I
so
do have
today
a few horror books listed. There's, like, three of them, but I can contribute to this conversation a little bit.
I don't know where we want to start. Should we just go through like each category and we can go from there? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I broke up my list into horror books. Well, I broke my list up into books that remind me of fall. And some of them I have literally no idea why they remind me of fall, but they do. And then I have actual spooky books that have like vampires or ghosts or something in them. Mm-hmm. And then I have a few horror books, so I don't know where we want to start, but
I mean, I can start with mine. So Like I said, I have had a really crazy few weeks, so my prep for this is probably not as good as Loretta's, but I have a stack of books sitting next to me, and I'm just gonna, like, go through them. I'm just gonna pick up one. So I have one called Day 4, and I don't know if I've talked about this on previous episodes or not, but
I've never heard of this, so probably not.
Okay, so I actually found this on an article that I think Stephen King posted, or that somebody said, like, oh, these are books that Stephen King, like, recommends, that says, that he says, like, he really enjoyed or whatever. And so I read it, and it's about this, I'm just gonna read it because I suck at summaries, but people are basically on a cruise ship that, like, things, crazy things start happening. So it says, among the hundreds of pleasure seekers on board the Beautiful Dreamers 5-day cruise are a hard-parting singles group, a couple repairing their marriage, a famous psychic and her beleaguered assistant, and a pair of elderly sisters determined to go out with a bang. For 3 sun-filled days, the journey seems to deliver all that the cruise brochure promised, a one-way ticket to relaxation and fun in the sun, until day 4. Without warning, the ship stops dead. Electricity and cellular signals are cut off. Smoke pours out of the engine room. The passengers and crew have no way to call for help and are stranded in the Gulf of Mexico. At first, all aboard are certain that rescue teams will come looking for them soon. All they have to do is wait. As supplies run low, the toilets stop working and a virus plagues the ship. Mm-hmm. But when the body of a woman is discovered in her cabin, irritation escalates to panic. There's a murderer on board and maybe something worse. So the last little blurb of this, we're going to get into.
It's like COVID on a cruise ship.
So I read this, and I was like, this is actually really good. I was, like, really, like, into it. I read it, and I was like, cool, it's a standalone story. Then I find out that this is actually a sequel to another book.
Really?
That I had no idea. So it says down here, it says, the chilling, relentlessly suspenseful follow-up to The Three, Day 4 is a heart-racing tale. So I would recommend this book, but just know that there's a book that's before this called The Three that I haven't read yet because I didn't know it existed. So
I think it's interesting that you read it and didn't even know that there was a sequel. Yeah, I mean, that it was a sequel.
Yeah, I read it, and I don't know how they connect because if I recall correctly, it didn't seem like you needed to have any other information outside of, like, there are these people on a ship, and then the ship just stops, and they're stranded, and crazy things are happening. But I would recommend reading it, but reading The Three first, because apparently they're connected somehow. Maybe one day I'll get to that book, but that day is not today. But that's my first off my shelf pick. Like, all of these books I have in my room because I went looking for scary books to read for our next few episodes on Kindle Unlimited, and the amount of horror books that are available on Kindle Unlimited is scarce. Like, I had a list of stuff that I wanted to read on my horror list, and I went looking, and they're not free on KU, and I was so mad. I'm like, why are all of these freaking smutty fairy books
why are
free?
There, like,
and I can't 30 even get
Colleen,
like, some
Hoover books and no horror books. Yeah,
I will say that I can talk about a few that I saw on TikTok that I do want to read because they sounded really good. I just can't confirm or deny if they're good. And the first one that I've been seeing around, this was a while ago, is called Playground. And apparently,
I think I know what you're talking about.
There is, like, a scene that's, like, 50 pages in that people are like, I had to stop reading because it's so wild.
Ooh.
But a bunch of parents get contacted by, I think, this person. I don't think it's a business. I think it's a person who created the playground, and she's like, or they, or I don't know who it is, they're like, hey, we'll pay you a bunch of money if you come and, like, test out the playground, and then, like, bad things start happening, if you can imagine. So that sounded really good to me, but I can't get it for free with my Kindle Unlimited subscription, so I'm like, I'll get it eventually, but it seemed interesting.
I just googled playground book, and is it this?
Yes. That one.
This cover is wild.
It is wild, and from the videos I've seen on TikTok, people are like, this is crazy.
I will never ever read this, but please tell me how it goes if you do.
I feel like I need to buy it now on my Kindle just so that way I can follow
listeners,
up
please
on the next
Google
episode.
Just, it's by Aaron Beauregard. A-R-O-N. We'll have it in the notes. But please Google this cover because it's wow.
Yep. Yes, exactly. You're welcome for that. And then we can take a palate cleanser and you can talk about some of your...
Something cute and fluffy. Okay.
Cute and cozy ones.
Should I start with books that I just like reading for fall or spooky? I'll do spooky books because it's a spooky book episode. What's something I haven't talked about? Belladonna, I just, read the audiobook for. I mean, I listened to the audiobook of, and it's super good. I mean, I know everyone was, like, screaming about that book recently, but it was, in my opinion, it was worth the hype. It's about this girl, who she's born, and when it opens up, her mom is carrying her baby, the main character, around a party. And then, everyone just starts dying, and you never really find out why, but it's insane. Like, it's obvious that, like, someone poisoned the punch or something, because literally everyone at the party is dying. And okay. There's a maid that grabs the main character. Of course, I'm forgetting her name now, but she manages to get her into a bassinet before everyone dies. And then death comes because everyone died. And I guess when death touches someone, he can see their life, like the life that they've lived, but he touches the baby and he sees her future. And he's like, say what? So he leaves her alone. And then she grows up and all of the caretakers that she goes to, since her parents are dead, they end up dying somehow. Like, one guy gets, like, a sexually transmitted disease, and he ends up dying because he's, like, a man whore. it's, like, her uncle or something. I can't remember. Uh-huh. And they just die in all these ways. So she ends up, and she can see death, she doesn't know why, but she ends up growing up hating death because he kills everyone that she, you know, is being taken care of by, and it disrupts her life. It opens with her trying to kill death too, and I'm like, he's death. Why are you trying to kill death?
Yeah.
Duh. But anyway, she ends up, one of her caretakers dies again. So death shows up and she's like, you son of a bitch. And she tries to kill him and he's like, bitch, I'm death. What are you doing? And then she ends up going to a new family and they're like distant cousins or something. And she, someone died at the house. So she tries to figure out who it is. And it's very spooky. There are lots of ghosts. She ends up falling in love with death. And it's amazing. And the audiobook was really good. So you should go read it because it was awesome.
I mean, and the sequel just came out. I literally just looked it up on Amazon. And it's $2.99 for the Kindle
It's edition, fate. So,
I mean, might as well.
It was narrated by a woman. But the way she did death's voice did something to me, and I don't really understand what she did, but it was great. So
I don't say this often, and I feel like this is just a fleeting moment in time, but I kind of miss having to be in my car to drive to work every day because I don't listen to as many books. Like, there's no reason for me to have audiobooks on because I work from home.
I know. But I get so excited to go hang out with my friend because she lives a half an hour away. So when I'm in the car, like, when I go see her, I'm like, I can listen to a book. And it's only a half an hour, but I know. I love it.
I need to find more places to drive. But with gas prices, I don't know. Just
literally.
Sit in my car. Pretend I'm going somewhere.
This is why we need the books, so we can forget about real life.
Okay, second on my stack of books that I actually own that I can talk about is A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay. I know for a fact I have talked about this one.
I have seen this
on previous episodes, but I, to this day, still think about the ending of this book. Like, I don't remember a lot of the specific details about what happens, just, like, the general idea of the story. But the ending of this book is so freaking good. Like, I still think about it. It's so, like, I can't talk about what this book is about other than just saying that it's, like, involves a family who is, like, on the verge of being broken up. And there's two siblings, there's two sisters, and one of the sisters is, like, going through it. and the parents disagree on how to handle everything that's been going on with the family. So they see a therapist, they put her on meds, they call in the church, there's an exorcist show in here, and the book takes place, the beginning starts off with an interviewer, like a journalist interviewing the youngest sister, and then the youngest sister says, I've never told this story, like, you're gonna be the only person that I tell. Oh, it's like
Interview with a Vampire, I love that story kind of shit. Too.
And then the rest of it goes into, like, her telling the story of what happened when she was little. And then you get to the end, and you're like, what just happened? But let me see if I can read the little
I think you told me the twist at some point. Because I know I'm never going to read this, unfortunately.
Okay, this is what it says in the little insert in the front. It says, a chilling domestic drama that blends psychological suspense with a touch of modern horror. It says, the lives of the Barretts, a normal suburban New England family, are torn apart when 14-year-old Marjorie begins to display signs of acute schizophrenia. To her parents' despair, the doctors are unable to stop Marjorie's bizarre outbursts and subsequent descent into madness. As their home devolves into a house of horrors, they reluctantly turn to a local Catholic priest for help. Father Wanderley suggests an exorcism. He believes the vulnerable teenager is the victim of demonic possession. He also contacts a production company that is eager to document the Barretts' plight for a reality television show. With John, Marjorie's father, out of work for more than a year and medical bills looming, the family reluctantly agrees to be filmed, never imagining that the possession would become an instant hit. When events in the Barretts' household explode in tragedy, the show and the incidents it captures become the stuff of urban legend. 15 years later, a best-selling writer interviews Marjorie's younger sister, Mary, as she recalls those long ago events from her childhood. She was just 8 years old. Painful memories and long-buried secrets that clash with the television broadcast and the internet blogs begin to surface. A mind-bending tale of psychological horror is unleashed, raising disturbing questions about memory and reality, science and religion, and the very nature of evil. That was long, but I think it was worth it to understand the book. But yeah, this is good. So, A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay. I have another book, one of his books, sitting on my shelf that I haven't read yet, and I think it's called The Cabin at the End of the World. And I think they made a movie about that.
I was just gonna say, is that the one that was just M. Night Shyamalan or whatever?
I'm Googling. Let me see. The Cabin at the End of the World. Yeah, so The Cabin at the End of the World came out in 2018.
Is that the movie with Rupert Grint?
Okay, it was adapted by M. Night Shyamalan into 2023, but they renamed the movie, and it's called Knock at the Cabin. So if you see the movie Knock at the Cabin...
Oh my god, that guy wrote the book of that?
That is based off of The Cabin at the End of the World, and Rupert Grint is in that movie. I haven't seen the movie, I also haven't read the book, but I love the stuff that I have read from Paul Tremblay, so I would say that it's probably going to be good. And basically this family is on vacation in a cabin and then they get taken hostage by, like, strangers.
I looked up the summary of the movie because I didn't have the energy to watch the whole thing. I just wanted to know what happened. and I'm trying to remember how it ends, but yeah, it's, I mean, the movie, I don't know about the book, but the movie is about, this family of three. It's, they go into a cabin in the woods and then they have a little daughter. Yep. And then these, is it like four or five people show up and
there's,
they're like,
four, yeah,
the world's going to end if we don't kill one of you. And they're like, what?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm assuming it's good because I like all his other stuff.
The summary of the movie read really insane, so I say go yes. for it.
Yeah. But yeah, now back to you.
Palate cleansers. I just read palate cleansers all the time. That's just my taste. I'm just going to mention this one really quick because there isn't really a description to go with it, but Immortals After Dark by Cressley Cole is a great, like, urban fantasy paranormal romance. Each one is a standalone, but they're all interconnected. And they're all about different kinds of creatures. So there's vampires and ghouls and ghosts and demons. And there's like a billion of them too. So you could really fall down a deep hole if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So those are great. The one I'm reading now is called Her Favorite Jack-O-Lantern by Rebecca Kennick. And it's adorable. it's about this girl who grew up. She's lived in the same town her whole life. She's always been labeled like a weirdo and a nerd because she loves Halloween and it's like her whole personality. Like she dresses in spooky stuff and she's kind of goth, and her grandmother gifted her this really old Victorian house when she went into she went into like a home or something, and she was like, "You can have my house." And she was like, "What?" So she is an interior designer and she decorated the whole thing and it's all spooky and but the town thinks that she's like really wacky and no one likes her. And then her crush, Jack, get it? Her crush, Jack, comes back from the army. He moves back home after like years and years of being away. And he doesn't remember her, but she's had a crush on him like her whole life. And he's her neighbor. And then they end up falling in love. And it's really adorable. It is a contemporary, which is shocking for me, but I really like it a lot.
Yeah, that sounds fun. That sounds cute.
Yeah. I will say that, like, this is going off onto a more depressing tangent, but the whole book is about her in this town and how she's not accepted. But I don't know how to say what I want to say. But, you know, she's white and thin and beautiful. And I don't know. I feel like there was a missed opportunity there for, like, some kind of depth. Like, either racially or, I don't know, with some kind of health or disability or something. Like, I feel like there could have been some kind of rep there and there isn't. But other than that, I really like it.
Yeah. You're like, oh, the skinny white girl's not.
How hard it is for you for being skinny and beautiful. But, you know, you dress kind of wacky. Whoa.
Oh, you wear overalls. You're so weird.
Yeah.
You're so quirky. Got it.
You can't sit with us. You're wearing orange.
Yeah. I will also go off of the list that you have, and you have Maggie's Stifader books on here, like The Raven Boys.
She is such a fall author
and to Scorpio me. Races. Mm. And I will say that I don't think any of her books could be considered spooky to me, but I do agree that they have like fall vibes. So if you want to read these in like literally the first sentence of Scorpio Races is like
November.
It's the 1st of November, yeah. So somebody's going to die. Like, something along
I wanted to try and time it this year, too. Like, I want to read it during, like, the day.
Yeah. So, I will say that, like, they are good for fall. And if you want to save those for even November, mm-hmm. like, do it. Those are good.
Yeah, I waffled on Maggie. The Raven Boys and the Dreamer Trilogy because they're not really spooky, but they have ghosts and shit in them.
Yeah.
And witches.
They have magical elements.
Right. So I put the Raven Boys and Dreamer Trilogy in spooky books, but yeah, they're more fall, autumn vibes. But yeah, I love, she's such a fall author.
I just wanted to shout those out because I love Maggie. And she's also so cool. I met her at Y'all Fest or Y'all West, whatever, Y'all West.
I'm so jealous. Year.
And she was so nice. So
she seems super cool.
Okay, what else do I want to pick? I'm just, like, going through random stuff. Okay, I will go with this one. So, my next pick that I have...
This has been on my TBR for literally forever.
So, I have Nosferatu, which it took me forever to realize that it was, like, pronounced Nosferatu and not, like, NOS-482 because it's a license plate, and I was like... Oh, haha, Nosferatu, like the vampire, got it. but this is a horror novel by Joe Hill, and Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned it into a show on AMC. I'd never watched it.
I did. I'm How did I watch it and you didn't? Good. I didn't well, watch it. Well, I say I watched it. I watched like 3 episodes. It was pretty good, actually. I liked it. I have no idea. I've never read the book, so I don't know how it stacks up, but...
I kind of want to watch it now and maybe reread this, but I
learned about this book because one of my good friends from high school is obsessed with Stephen King and therefore also obsessed with his son. And we went to oh my God, it was a con in Chicago, and I'm completely blanking on what it's called. But we went to a con that that Joe Hill was at, and I think she met him or something, or he was on a panel. Yeah. Or maybe there was a panel about the show. I don't know. There was, the book was there for some reason, and the only reason I knew that it was called Nosferatu, like, I never would have figured out that that's how you say it, yeah, was because it, she's told me about it. Like, she pronounced it that way, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then they had a screening of, like, the first episode, and I ended up watching a few episodes of the show, and it was really good. And I've been wanting to read the book because of that for, like, literal years, and I never have.
Yeah. He also, this is the only book that I've read of Joe Hill, even though I want to read more of his stuff, but he wrote Horns.
He did what? Oh, he did Horns?
That movie with Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah. That's a book, and it's Joe Hill.
Oh my
and
God, so, I didn't know that. Like,
yes, and so I want to get more into him. I just, again, don't have time for anything these days, but
I know he did Lock and Key, that graphic novel,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, he did do Lock and Key, and I did watch that show, and I do...
Is that good? I never read it. I mean, I never read it or watched it.
I watched the show. I haven't read the graphic novels, but I do love the show, and it's not... It's centered around these three siblings that move back into their mom, one of their parents' childhood homes, I think. Like, they move into this house, and them and some of their friends find these keys. And the keys are magical, and they do different things. There's, like, a teleportation key. There's, like, a key that lets you go into somebody's, like, dreams or minds.
That's cool.
I forget what the other keys do, but they're, like, a bunch of different keys. And then they slowly start to find out that, like, more sinister things have happened in the past because of these keys. And they're trying to figure out, like, what's going on, where are all of the keys, who knows what about the keys, things like that. And I think all the keys have different rules, too, that they slowly start to find out. And then, like, other adults come into the picture because you realize that, like, other people have had the keys before.
Oh, weird. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, but I think I only watched the first season. I don't think I've caught up on the rest of the show. I think there's a few more seasons, but I'm not done. But it was actually really good. So, also good for a spooky season, I think, even though there's not really, like, those...
Yeah, it seems kind of creepy.
Traditional monsters. It has, like, that creepy factor.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nosferatu. It's Joe Hill.
Is the book good?
Go read his book.
I mean, you're recommending it, yeah, so I'm assuming
it is. I like the book. Yeah, it's very... It's, I'll just read the back, because, again, this is better than me explaining it. It says, Victoria McQueen has an uncanny knack for finding things. A misplaced bracelet, a missing photograph, answers to unanswerable questions. When she rides her bicycle over the rickety old covered bridge in the woods near the house, she always emerges in the places she needs to be. Charles Talent Manx has a gift of his own. He likes to take children for rides in his 1938 Rolls-Royce Wraith.
Oh my God,
with the vanity plate Nosferatu. In the Wraith, he and his innocent guests can slip out of the everyday world and onto hidden roads that lead to an astonishing playground of amusements he calls Christmas Land. The journey across the highway of Charlie's twisted imagination transfers his precious passengers, leaving them as terrifying and unstoppable as their benefactor. Then the day comes when Vic goes looking for trouble and finds her way to Charlie. That was a lifetime ago. Now, the only kid ever to escape Charlie's evil is all grown up and desperate to forget. But Charlie Manx hasn't stopped thinking about Victoria McQueen. On the road again, he won't slow down until he's taken his revenge. He's after something very special, something Vic can never replace. As a life-and-death battle of wills builds, Vic McQueen prepares to destroy Charlie once and for all, or die trying. So...
I forgot about the car thing. Now I'm remembering it in the show, and I'm like, ugh.
Evil, non-human, potentially man, young girl. There's, like, weird, like, what are they called? Like, other worlds? Like,
mm-hmm. The car, yeah, the car, like, goes, I don't know, different dimensions or something.
There you go, dimensions. So there's, like, other dimensions, there's, like, magic, there's, like, a psychic who uses Scrabble tiles to tell the future.
Oh. Oh, yeah, there is!
Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Uh-huh, and she has, like, her special Scrabble tile bag, and then
I remember now that I watched the first few episodes of the show, and I was like, "How on earth do all of these people connect?"
Yeah, it's all very crazy, but it's good. So if anybody wants a more, like, I think weirder on the spectrum of, like, you're gonna have to use your brain to figure out what's going on and, like, guess at stuff. But I thought it was good.
Cool. Good to know. On the other end of the spectrum, what have I got? I talked about this briefly a few episodes ago, but I read The Coven by Harper L. Woods a while ago, and there are parts of it I don't like, but I am recommending it for spooky season because it fits the vibes really well. Mm-hmm. It's a dark romance, and there's a whole page in the beginning of trigger warning, so please check those before you read it, because shit gets real cray cray at the end of the book. I was reading and I was like, holy shit!
Yeah.
But it's about, the plot is kind of confusing, and I don't know if I was confused because I listened to the audiobook or if it's literally confusing. I missed a lot of stuff, but it's essentially about this girl who gets pulled into this coven. There's like a school for witches. And she gets recruited to go, and she's basically been a homeschool kid her whole life, so she goes there, and she does everything way differently. She does everything, like, the old school witchy way, and she gets there, and she's like, you guys don't do this? You guys don't offer blood sacrifices all the time? And they're like, no. You do? And so she has one job, and that's, she's half necromancer, half, like, a plant, I forget what it's called, plant witch.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad's half of the family is the necromancer half, and the bones of her, like, great aunt or something will give their family their necromancer powers back. It's a long story about why they were taking away, but her one job is to go to the school, seduce the headmaster, who's a vampire, so he'll tell her where the bones are. And of course she goes there and she, like, doesn't do the one thing that she has to do. And then at the end of the book, when everything blows up, she's like, wow, I really should have done that one thing I was supposed to do. It's like, fucking duh. But anyway, so it's about her trying to find these bones for her family and stuff. And then she ends up falling for the headmaster, even though she hates him too, but the vampires are really weird. I've never read vampires like this before. They're actually demons, but they're in the bodies. But they're in human bodies. And they have to drink witch blood. They can't just drink human blood. It has to be witch blood. So because they're bound to the witches, they all work at this school because they need their blood. So it was really interesting. But there's, like, skeletons walking around talking, and there's witches and vampires and demons and blood sacrifices and murder.
All the spooky season things.
So it's all there. And the sequel just came out. I need to read it because I have to know how this fucking ends. It's crazy, but if you like dark romance and you want something, you want to be in for a wild ride, that's a book, that's a recommending. The Coven.
Okay, well, on the other end of that spectrum, I don't think this book beats that book in terms of wild factor, but I got, an early copy of a book called She...
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that on Instagram.
Yeah, I got it from Bloomsbury, and it's by Trang Ton Tran. And it is a haunted house story. And the back says it's Mexican Gothic meets the astonishing color of After. But I've only read Mexican Gothic, and I do like Mexican Gothic. So if you haven't read that book, I would say that one's a good spooky season read. But this one says, there's also in this book, I think, it's LGBTQ+, it's Asian American, and it's...
all the things!
So it says, when Jade Nguyen arrives in Vietnam for a visit with her estranged father, she has one goal, survive 5 weeks pretending to be a happy family in the French colonial house Ba is restoring. She's always lied to fit in, so if she's straight enough, Vietnamese enough, American enough, she can get out with the college money she promised. But the house has other plans. Night after night, Jade wakes up paralyzed. The walls exude a thrumming sound while bugs leave their legs and feelers in places they don't belong. She finds curious traces of her ancestors in the gardens they once tended. And at night, Jade can't ignore the ghost of the beautiful bride who leaves cryptic warnings. Don't eat. Neither Ba nor her sweet sister Lily believe that there's anything strange happening. With help from a delinquent girl, Jade will prove this house, the home her family has always wanted, will not rest until it destroys them. Maybe this time she can keep her family together. As she roots out the house's rot, she must also face the truth of who she is and who she must become to save them all.
That sounds really good. Now I want to read it.
Also, it says that Claire Legrand, who we just interviewed, wrote a little blurb about praising the book.
Yay!
So, I kind of want to read this. It says, "She is a haunting is exactly the kind of book I love. Gorgeous prose, a deliciously terrifying atmosphere, incisive thematic resonance, and a gloriously complex heroine. Jade is an unforgettable character, all tender longings and sharp edges, and readers everywhere will root for her just as hard as I did. Put it on your shelf next to Rebecca and The Haunting of Hill House, an incredible, riveting debut." So, she's a haunting.
I'm down for this. This sounds really good.
Yeah, and it came out this year. It came out in February, so everyone can go get it and read it for spooky season.
On that note, one of the three books in my horror section that I recommended are Sawkill Girls, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, Sawkill Girls is really good. I have it on my shelf
somewhere. I scream about it every spooky season, but I love it so much.
That also is LGBTQ.
It is.
Rep and...
It's YA mental, horror.
Mental health, rep. I'm trying to think of what else it has in there. Mm-hmm. Has monsters.
Yeah. Very creepy, but it's YA, so it's not, like, too creepy. Yeah, I love it. And on the complete opposite end, another one that I have on my list, I'm still in the middle of listening to the audiobook of this, but I'm recommending it because it's an anthology of short stories, but it's called Eternally Yours. And
I have that. Do you? I have that one. Yeah.
Eternally Yours.
I've read a few of them.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of spooky short stories, but they're all...
They're like paranormal romance short stories by different authors. I was going to
say, but they're all paranormal romance, and it's by Patrice Caldwell, but I think she's the one who, like, brought everyone together.
She put it together. Yeah. She's the... I think she edited it, and then all of the short stories are by different authors.
Yeah. So I've read
There's one about
three.
A zombie in there, like zombie love, and I was like, this is cute.
They're all really adorable, and they don't... Yeah. Like, they're really light. There's, like, maybe kissing, so, I mean, it's nothing like... You don't really get they're too deep cute. Into anything, like but they're fluff. Really adorable. My favorite one so far is the one by Chloe Gong, and it's about this girl who's going to school, and then this new guy comes to school, and he's like, oh my God, my love, my soulmate, you're here, I finally found you. And she's like, do I know who you are? And he's like, you don't recognize me. And it turns out that they're supposed to be like soulmates, and they get reincarnated and find each other every time they come back to life, but she doesn't remember him, and he's like, I don't understand why you don't remember me, and he freaks out. It's adorable. So I recommend it's so cute.
But yes, I can also recommend it. I've read a few. I haven't finished all the short stories in there, but I do have that book, and the cover is really cute.
Yeah,
it's like a little like skeleton rib cage and with a bunch like, flowers and stuff, and it's pink, so.
The first story is about two ghouls, and then it's about this girl who gets turned into a ghoul, and then she seeks revenge for the guy who turned her into a ghoul, and then she beheads him, and then she feels bad that she beheads him, so she carries his head around on his last night
alive.
That's
the one I was talking about. Yeah. I thought they were zombies.
Or, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was
so
like
funny. She like falls in love with a head.
Yeah.
It's great. But anyway.
On my list, I have a classic, The Haunting of Hill House. And the only reason why I picked this one out, even though obviously like it's a classic, so I don't need to recommend it, but is because I rewatched it, but I watched it with somebody who watched it for the first time. We watched The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. And the book and the show are completely different. So I feel like if you're going to watch the show and say you love The Haunting of Hill House, you have to read the book. So that way you can actually confirm if you love The Haunting of Hill House.
Good to know.
But there are, like, he took a lot of liberties. Like, in the book, the main characters are not related. They're not family members. They just all end up in the same house. Mm-hmm. I think only, like, one or two of them actually have, like, any connection to the house of why they're there. But the character names are the same. And, like, obviously the house does things or whatever, and one of them goes crazy and blah, blah, blah. But I will say that the show is really good, so I also recommend watching the show if you haven't already. And I forget the name of the dude who does the show. He has a bunch of scary stuff. Let me, I have to know what it is.
I own this book and I haven't read it yet, so I should.
It's very different than the book, but they're both Mike Flanagan. So Mike Flanagan does a bunch of scary stuff. He does a bunch of scary movies and shows. He did The Haunting of Hill House, which I love. He did Haunting of Bly Manor, which is based on The Turning of the Screw, which I've also read, but I don't like those more than I like Haunting of Hill House. He did the new one, The Fall of the House of Usher, which is based off I think the same name, I forget, but that hasn't come out yet. That comes out this year, mm-hmm. and it looks good. He did Midnight Mass, which I also really highly recommend.
Oh, I wanted to watch that, and I never did. That one I should watch really that good. This October.
That one is really good, and it's not like,
I don't seek out a lot of spooky stuff, but that looked pretty cool.
Midnight Mass is not ghost story, like The Haunting of Hill House, but it is spooky. Like, yeah. I can't say more without, like, potential spoilers, so I won't, but I did like Midnight Mass. He also did Doctor Sleep, which is a sequel to Shining. The Shining, which I haven't seen and I haven't read, but I should. We should do that next.
I know.
But anyway, Mike Flanagan, very good at horror stuff. Highly recommend. And in Hill House, he hides a bunch of ghosts throughout every episode. And you can probably find articles that, like, tell you where all of the ghosts are. And I like to go back and, like, rewatch, see if I can pick them out. And I'm always God, this is so freaking good. And it also made me cry. But, like, anyway.
This is completely random. And, I mean, it's kind of related. But that reminds me of one time I heard that the guy who directed Easy A was obsessed with oranges or something. And he tried to put an orange into every shot. And
that's kind of cool.
Now sometimes I watch the movie and I'm like, where's the orange? Sometimes you can see random ones. But anyway.
At the back of this book, going back to Hill House and how they're completely different. So in the show, they're a family, like two, like the parents and the kids. In the book, they go to Hill House and one of them is an occult scholar looking for evidence of psychic phenomenon. One of them is his assistant. Another one is the future inheritor of the estate. And then a friendless, fragile young woman with a dark past.
Oh, Lord.
And then it says, as they begin to cope with chilling and even horrifying occurrences, they cannot possibly know what lies ahead. For Hill House is gathering its powers, and soon it will choose one of them to make its own. So,
bum, bum, bum.
Different but similar, and I recommend both.
I kind of like when adaptations are different enough that I don't like if you change enough stuff, I will not relate the two together. Like Princess Diaries the movie and Princess Diaries the book are so different that I can't even compare them, so like I can't get mad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Anyway,
I don't know if I can think of any other adaptations that outside of like the obvious Shakespeare ones that we went over.
Oh yeah,
but like The Hunger Games, or Harry Potter, or, I don't even know, Percy Jackson, won't get into those.
sometimes I like when they're different, so maybe that's, I don't know. Anyway, that's a whole other episode.
Side note, I am very excited for the Disney Plus Percy Jackson movie, or TV show.
It comes out on my birthday.
And it comes on your birthday.
I know, I'm so excited. I saw the trailer and I was like, for my birthday!
Yes.
I know what I'm doing. I'm so stoked. I feel like I want to watch the OG movies just to like reminisce.
I'm down to have like look like, how that far we've come. Episodes.
I should reread the books and then watch the movies because I did both of those things at completely different times. And I don't know. It'd be fun to like be like, what the fuck?
I will say that Logan Lerman will always be my Percy Jackson.
Yeah, he was He was perfectly cast. Unfortunately, he was just in a version.
I know. But anyway, all of that to say, we should do an episode where we talk about the movie, the show, and the...
We totally should. I haven't read those books in forever.
Yeah. This is sidetrack. We can go into this another
episode. I know. This is a whole other episode. But yes. Anyway.
This is a spooky season episode.
Okay, what else? You go next. I do have on here A Ruinous Fate by Kaylee Smith, which we have talked about a lot on this show because Kaylee is amazing. And we interviewed her.
Go listen to that episode.
I have that on here because it's very witchy. And there's a haunted-y, weird fantasy forest that they all get trapped in. And a bunch of shit happens. And it's crazy. And you should read it because there's like a love hexagon. Actually, well... It's like three love triangles going on at the same time.
It's just love chaos.
It's love chaos, yeah.
Yeah.
It's YA, but it's great, so you should go read that. And the sequel is going to be coming out in January, which is not terribly far, so do it.
And we will be reading our early copies and maybe interviewing Kaylee again and talking about it, so yeah. Stay tuned.
I'm so excited. I keep eyeballing my arc.
Okay, on my list, again, these are... books that are on my physical shelf, but I haven't read them, but I heard really good things about them.
I can see what you're holding up, and I own one of these, and I really want to read it too. I didn't know this was horror. I don't know how I didn't know that.
I think it's more like spooky, creepy. Like creepy vibes, not necessarily like monsters and horror and scary, but it is House of Salt and Sorrows and Small Favors. Both are by Aaron Craig. And they are not connected. They're just standalone books that she has written. But the back says chilling and atmospheric. And it is House of Salt and Sorrows is a retelling of 12 Dancing Princesses. And this says full of ghosts and gods and a fascinating waterfront world. So I'm here for it. And the inner slip says... Anna Lee lives in a sheltered life at Highmore, a manor by the sea, with her sisters and their father and stepmother. Once there were 12, but loneliness fills the grand halls now that 4 of the girls' lives have been cut short. Each death was more tragic than the last. The plague, a plummeting fall, a drowning, a slippery plunge, and there are whispers throughout the surrounding villages that the family is cursed by the gods. Disturbed by a series of ghostly visions, Anna Lee becomes increasingly suspicious that her sisters' deaths were no accidents. The girls have been sneaking out every night to attend glittering balls, dancing until dawn in silk gowns and shimmering slippers, and Anna Lee isn't sure whether to try to stop them or to join their forbidden trysts. Because who or what are they really dancing with? When Anna Lee's involvement with the mysterious stranger who has secrets of his own intensifies, it's a race to unravel the darkness that has fallen over her family before it claims her next. So.
Give me any book with a ball and I'm there.
Yep. There's deaths and balls. Deaths and dancing.
The best combo.
And then... Small Favors says, enter not the forest deep. Beyond the bells, the dark fiends keep. That's the back. Ooh. So, I mean, if that's anything to go by. Also, the inside, are bees.
Oh, no.
It's so cute. So, like,
the cover is really beautiful.
Look at that spine. I know no one else can see it, but it's bees. It's, like, cute little
that's
bees.
Adorable.
And I feel like that's... can be scary because they can sting you.
Bees make me think of Gansey from the Raven Boys, and yes. That makes me think of the bees in that book, and that freaks me out, so bees are creepy.
It says, Small Favors is a mesmerizing and chilling novel about dark wishes and dreams and what lurks in the shadows of the people you think you know. And it's a small town. The town is plagued with different things as the season changes. It says, the heart's desire always comes with a price. So, yeah. Aaron Craig, Small Favors, House of Salt and Sorrows. Maybe I'll read those this spooky season because I'm telling y'all to read them, so I will read them too.
It's the beginning of October. You still got time.
But like I said, I've heard good things and I bought them because they sounded so good. So, I feel like I'm not leading anybody astray. I am confident that they're going to be good.
Okay, I'll mention two from my horror books real quick, because one I've talked about in the past, and I won't get into it too much. But The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman is, like, my favorite Neil... I mean, I've only read, like, two Neil Gaiman books. But it's my favorite Neil Gaiman book so far that I've read anyway. It's horror. It's super short, so it's a really quick read. And it's told from the perspective of a little boy. And he sees some crazy shit, so it's, like, creepy because you're reading it from a child's perspective. But, it, like, what he's describing is really, like, creepy and weird. So it's really good. I loved it a lot. So I recommend that one. And Alice by Henry Christina is really cool. It's an Alice in Wonderland retelling, but it's horror Alice in Wonderland. And
I'm here for that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't love the ending, but I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the ending, so I'm still recommending it. There's also a sequel, so I don't know. Maybe that'll fix that. I haven't read. Yeah. So maybe that'll fix it. I don't know. But anyway, The Journey is really cool. It's very dark, so, like, check your trigger warnings, but it's cool. And I recommend that one, too.
I want to read that one now. Horror Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, it's like something I would enjoy.
It's like Alice in Wonderland. You know, you didn't play it. There used to be a video game on Xbox where it was Alice in Wonderland, but she woke up and she was in a mental asylum, and it was, like, really dark and spooky. That's the vibe.
I don't know that game, but, like, I feel like I want to play it now.
It was the best. I think you can still play, like, the legacy version of it, but it could be wrong. Alice Madness Returns is the video game. And Alice wakes up and she's in a mental institution, and because she came back and she was like, oh, I went to Wonderland and I talked to a talking cat, and everyone's like, okay. So she ended up in a mental hospital and weird shit. It's really creepy. And there's monsters, and that's the vibe of this book, if you know that video game.
I am excited for this. For both the book and the game.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I highly recommend the game. If you can get your hands on it, it's great. It's creepy, but in a good way.
It's on Steam. I know somebody with a Steam Deck these days, so have him buy it for me on his Steam Deck, and then we can play it on my TV.
Nice.
Back to spooky books.
Tangent, yeah.
We've gone off on a lot of tangents.
I know. It's been a long week, y'all.
Yeah. It's fine. Bear with us. Okay, on my list is another book that I got from Bloomsbury, so shout out Bloomsbury. It's called You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight, and it came with this really cool little pamphlet, and it says, Camp Mirror Lake, Can You Survive? And it is based off of, according to this, the cult classic Curse of Camp Mirror Lake, which came out in 1983.
Hmm.
It says, what you can expect, chilling horrors, unexpected twists, queer romance, slasher movie references, and a jaw-dropping finale. The author is Kaylin Barron.
Oh, she's the one who wrote This Poison Heart. That book was really good, so if that book...
And she wrote Cinderella is Dead.
Yeah. I've only read This Poison Heart, but that book was great, so I can recommend the author that way.
But yeah. So, slasher movies, Final Girl, Can You Survive the Night, queer romance.
This Poison Heart could be a good spooky season book too, because it's very witchy. It takes place in the summer, which is why I didn't have it on my list, but it's super great and witchy and spell-like. We got through most of the books on my spooky season books, so I'll go to my fall recommendations. So these are just the books that, like, remind me of fall, some of them for no reason at all. Like Mountains Made of Glass is the Scarlet St. Clair novella that came out not too long ago. And it gives me very strong fall vibes for literally no reason. I don't know. But it's so hard to describe because it's a super short book. So I read it in like a night, which is amazing for me because I'm the slowest reader ever. But it's like every grim fairy tale shoved together into a spicy romance book. I don't know. Yeah. It's great. I really liked it. There's like a fae king, a fae prince, and then she gets stuck, like staying with him and for reasons. And there's like seven brothers, I think. So I think there's going to be a novella for each brother and they're going to get bound into one book. So I'm excited about that, but I recommend that one.
I am excited for that too. I love freaking family stories and
There's, like, a bunch of magic and, like, talking frogs and crazy, like, fairy tale stuff and, like, magic woods. There's, like, a kelpie or something, or a merman. Anyway, which is why I think it reminds me of fall, so recommend that one. And it's spicy.
Always here for the spice.
I am going to recommend, I'm getting towards the end of my list here, but one of the books I have for fall is The Luminaries by Susan Dennard, and I fucking love this entire, like, world. For those of you who don't know, on X, formerly Twitter, back when it was Twitter, Susan Dennard started this, I think in 2019, she started this ginormous thread, poll thread, and she would... The story started with Winnie Wednesday, and when we started, we got like 3 lives, and there were like knowledge points and stuff we had, and then she would give us choices, and we would have to vote on what we wanted to do next in the story, and it went on for months and months until we died and we lost all of our lives, but it was so fun, and it was about, and that's how she got the idea for The Luminaries, which is a book based on that, but it's about Winnie Wednesday, and there's like this whole faction of people that are kind of like shadow hunters because they're guardians, and they protect regular people from the monsters that are hiding inside of the forest. Like, there are gods that live, that sleep under the earth, and their dreams come to life and haunt the forest. But then those monsters can come out and kill regular people. So their job is to guard the forest and make sure no one
dies.
That's
pretty cool.
It's really fucking cool. And it's a YA book, but it's super awesome. The sequel is coming out soon. So everyone should read it because I love it. And she's right now on Instagram. She started doing the poll thing to promote the sequel.
Yeah.
And you can go and vote on stuff in there, too, and it's really fun.
That does sound really fun. I want to read this now. I want to find, like, one of those special edition copies of this, too, because I feel like I would love it.
Yeah, I got, I didn't buy it right away because I got an ebook ARC from, I forget who the publisher is. But then Owl Crate they had it in one of their monthly boxes, and I was like, I want that version of the book. But then it went on sale in their shop, so I was like, mine, and I got it, so I'm excited.
Also, side note, tangent, since that's the
theme main of this topic,
yeah, main theme of this episode, Susan Dennard also writes the Truth Witch novels, which are also really good.
I contemplated putting that in this list because it's kind of fall with witch. I don't know, but then I was like, no.
It has witchy vibes. They're like different types of magic, but it's also like, I would consider it a more robust fantasy. Like, you really have to read it and understand the world and the magic systems and like
it's
the history.
It's way more complex, yeah.
So...
And there's a lot of
the
books.
The tangent is that Susan Dennard writes a lot of good books and that you should read them.
For sure.
So just add the Truth Witch series to your list on top of this and read them whenever.
Please. Please do that. I read the first Truth Witch and I loved it, and now I need to read the rest, but... Oh, Kingdom of the Wicked. I'm going to mention that one, too. That's a really good fall book. It could work a spooky season, too. I've only read the first one, but I feel confident recommending it because it's very... There's a murder, and they have to figure out the murder and who did it, and there's the 7 deadly sins are there, and they're all really hot. So.
Yeah, I'm here for this.
Good fall vibes.
I have all 3 books sitting on my shelf. I haven't
too.
Read them yet.
I know.
Yeah.
I keep buying the Reading Portal illustration inserts, too. Like, I just bought the ones for book 2, and I put them in there. I haven't even fucking read the book. Anyway.
Yeah. We've been talking for way too long.
We have. This is a really long episode. Yeah.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed our spooky, cozy book recommendations.
Sorry, we're
we'll
all
be
over
back.
The place.
We'll be back in the next few weeks over the course of the month to talk about different types of genre books.
Yeah.
So tune in for more specified recommendations.
Our next episode is about our book club read of the month, which is The Shining by Stephen King, and we're going to do a movie. book thing. But then the rest of the month we're doing like different kinds of spooky recommendations.
Yes. Stick around for Monster Smut Rex. I may or may not have gone crazy on Kindle Unlimited to prep for that episode.
So. Another tangent. Stuff Your Kindle Day happened not too long ago, and it really came in clutch because I got like two or three orc books. I've already read one of them, and it was like not great, but I'm excited to talk about them. There's one where there's like, he's like her boss. It's like, yeah. He's an orc, but he's her boss. I don't know. I'm like,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna go look for that milking book so that way I can read it. The, like, Minotaur Milk Farm
book. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna read that book so that way we can talk about it. So,
yeah. Maybe I should, maybe we should both read that one.
The Minotaur Milk Farm or whatever.
I know. I can picture the cover of the book you're talking about in my mind right now.
So anyway, to close this episode,
for love of God, make us focus.
You don't want to miss out on our monster slash whatever we're going to be talking about in the next week, The Shining. Just catch us.
What day of the week is it? I don't know.
We'll talk to everyone later.
No, we have a game. Are we still doing the game?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We've been talking for like an hour and a half. I feel like that. Like we should just cut it.
Just end it. Just end it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we were gonna do a game, but we're talking way too long today. So we'll save the game for next weekend.
Please enjoy this. We hope you enjoyed this unhinged episode.
I feel like this is the most unhinged we've been for a while. So,
I know.
We'll come back a bit more, or a bit less hinged, a bit more hinged, a bit less unhinged. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll be more hinged next weekend. Enjoy our spooky season book recs. You can find us on social at Emo Girls Guide.
On all the things.
We're reading The Shining on Fable this month. So join us for that.
Next month is going to be the new Jennifer Armentrout book, Fall of Ruin and Wrath or whatever.
Yes.
If you would like to join in, that's on deck or whatever. I don't know.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
We don't know. Anyway.
What are words?
Stick around for the next episode for the game we were supposed to play, which was like, would we survive in a haunted
would we live through a horror movie?
We would not. I don't think either of us would be the final girl. No. But like, maybe based off we'll of just lucky. Like today's conversation, like we would not survive.
You actually watch horror movies. I feel like you have a better chance, but I would die immediately.
Yeah, I don't. We'll find out. We'll find out next weekend. So stick around if we survive the horror movie / novel / show / whatever. And may your day be blessed with main character energy.
Main character energy.
Goodbye.